This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Real interesting week for the Hawks, so they could catch Nashville here and get back into the playoffs. And I thought that after that loss to Detroit, the first one, because then they bounced back with a big win over the weekend, that this team is not trending the right way. But they're right there. 49 points for the Preds, 47 points for the Blackhawks. 7 o'clock puck drop tonight in Nashville. And then Nashville comes here Wednesday and Friday. So if ever there was a time to get lots of points, it's here in these next three games. And when we talk hockey, we'd love to turn to our good buddy, Eddie Olczyk, who you can watch on NBC Sports Chicago, along with the great Pat Foley. And Eddie joins us right now on the Corona Hotline on the Waddle and Sylvie Show. Eddie!
Sylvie! Tommy!
So how confident are you here that the Blackhawks can have a really good week against Nashville?
Well, they got to win their first game against them, Sylvie. They've lost all five games. Now, a couple of those came with extra time, so they did get a couple of points. But look, I feel very confident. This is a team that has found a way to be in a playoff hunt, considering all of the young players that they played all season long. And, you know, Jeremy Colleton and his staff has been very consistent, and the message from Stan Bowman has been consistent from day one is, look at, you know, we're going to give players an opportunity, and it's about the big picture. And as I told you guys at the start of the year, I thought it was going to be, you know, a combination of interesting and exciting, and it's been interciting so far. And here we are with 10 or 11 games to go, and the team that you're chasing, you got them three times, as you mentioned, Sylvie, in a matter of 5 days. And yeah, why not? And the games have been close. Nashville has probably been the better checking team. I think Jeremy Colleton alluded to that a little bit earlier today in his media conference. And, you know, I think it was three games ago, and the Blackhawks probably deserved better their last time they were in Nashville. I mean, they really deserve better. They just couldn't score, and they've had a tough time. I mean, every game has been low scoring. I think it's been 5 and 4 goals pretty much all through the series. But the game three games ago here at the United Center, at the end of the game, I made the mention to the Hall of Famer, the great Pat Foley, and I said I hadn't seen a team check as well as Nashville did in that game at the United Center of any game that I've seen all season long. And the Hawks played good that game. They just, every time they turned around, Tommy, you know what this feels like. Like every time you turn around, there's an opposition right in your grill, and you think they got 8 guys on the ice, or in football, it feels like they got 15. Right. That's just the way they played. And, you know, Jeremy kind of touched on it. They, you know, they forecheck and they're relentless, and Blackhawks have to find a way. So long-winded. Look at the door is open. Figure out a way to play with the puck a little bit more in the offensive zone, and you may not be able to score off the rush or play through the middle of the ice that maybe you want to. You got to put the hard hats on and get the puck in and get the money makers going and get in there and get to work below the goal line, because they don't give you a lot. And, you know, they're a team that's risen from the dead. I mean, everybody thought Nashville was going to be selling, and, you know, they were, you know, with 14 points out of a playoff spot, and they were, and all of a sudden here they are. They've had a 4-point lead for a period of time, and the Hawks cut it to 2. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward. It should be really exciting tonight.
Eddie, 45 games in, is this Blackhawks team what you thought they would be? Are they better than you thought they would be? And as you zoom out, are you encouraged about their future?
Oh, encouraged very much. You know, especially with a couple of young guys. I mean, Brandon Hagel in particular, I mean, he's a Chicago guy. I mean, this guy puts a hard hat on every night. You know, he pays a price. He may not get on a score sheet a lot. I mean, he'll do whatever. And he is, look at, here's a guy that wasn't even playing at the start of the year. He got an opportunity and is taking advantage. Yeah, I'm surprised for sure. I mean, look at, you didn't know what you were going to get in goal. Kevin Lankinen has stepped up. And, yeah, he's had a couple of, you know, blemishes and what have you. But, you know, look at the goaltending has been good. You got a big shutout the other day from Malcolm Subban. Now, I mean, Detroit didn't, you know, they didn't have a lot in that game, but he did what he needed to do. He got his team 2 points. And the goaltending, to me, has really kind of been a I don't even know how to say it. I mean, I think just of how good and consistent the goaltending has been has allowed this team an opportunity to be where they are. And they'll look at when you got a guy like Patrick Kane, and we all know about what Kaner has done, third in the league in scoring right now. I think he's second in assists with, you know, in the entire league. That's saying something. And look at Alex DeBrincat. He's a superstar. I mean, he is a goaltender, or excuse me, he's a goal scorer under the age of 24. And when you match him up against those guys in the National Hockey League, I think he's top five or top six. And I'm talking about Austin Matthews and David Pastrnak and Connor McDavid. When you hear those three names, everybody just thinks, oh, wow, you're talking all-star and superstar and whatever. Like, Alex DeBrincat has proven to be, after an off year last year, he's a superstar. He is a goal scorer. And those two guys playing together have carried this team. And so the arrows are pointing up. Now, look, it doesn't mean they're going to get in the playoffs this year. Doesn't mean they're going to get in the playoffs next year, because that's just the way that the game is. But, you know, you take a step, everybody expects you to take a next step. And but very a lot of positives going on at the United Center. And it's an opportunity here. So, look, it. Just worry about tonight's game and this mini three-game playoff series and see what happens.
Eddie, is there anything from this COVID season, you know, that you have liked that you hope will stay in hockey in years going by, whether it's like playing these series like the three games you just mentioned? Obviously, you've only played these in these recreated divisions. Is there anything that you've liked that you would like them to advance to next year when things get back to normal?
I do like the, you know, the mini series, so to speak, where you are playing, you know, those back to backs and maybe a couple of days off, and then you know, you maybe go play that same team again. But, you know, once we get back to normal, as far as in you know, understanding, respecting what's going on in the real world, is getting back to divisional play and what have you. It'll be interesting to see how that all kind of shakes out. But, you know, I played in an era where sometimes you play a team. You know, you play them back to back, and then you'd have a day or two off, and then you go to their city and play them a couple. You know, I remember playing three and four in a row against some teams back in the day, and that's because that's where you're playing teams, you know, 10 or 12 times in your division or whatever the number ended up being in your conference. So, I like it. I think it builds rivalries. I think it builds a little dislike, which is A-okay in my book, because guys don't forget when something happens, and you don't have to wait too long to so-called get even, and you can control your destiny a little bit more. Look, the schedule makers, and again, like one of these games wasn't going to be on a schedule because there was an incident, you know, with one of the teams Nashville was playing earlier in the year. The Hawks went in there, only played one game, and now they're making up this game here. So, I mean, it just worked out where you have the three here, and lo and behold, here we are with the 2-point separation between the Predators and the Blackhawks. So other than that, Sylvie, I'm just hoping they allow the broadcasters to get back into the buildings all over and be able to call the games. And but it's a lot of fun to be a very small part of on the broadcast side.
Eddie, do you like what Stan did prior to the deadline?
Well, look, I think he hit a home run when he traded Matthias Janmark, who was on an expiring contract, and got a second and third round pick. You know, from Vegas, Janmark played really well. I think he played a lot early. I think, unfortunately for him, I think he hit a wall and then went quiet for about 9 or 10 games. And, you know, there were a lot of teams I know that were looking at him and bring in a guy that played in the Stanley Cup final last year. You know, everybody wants to look at the trade with Florida, you know, of bringing in, you know, a couple of guys, you know, a guy like Inselman, who is still trying to find his way as a back-ender. You know, you bring in a guy like Brett Conley to come in, a veteran guy, and then get the rights to a young player that is dominated at college hockey a few years ago at the University of Denver, but, you know, hasn't been able to find the program so far. But he's back home and playing in Europe, and would expect Stan to get him signed. So, Look, time will tell when you bring in money and you move assets out. But at the end of the day, I really like the ability to be able to bring in a guy like Janmark and then, flip him for a second and third round pick. And people may not look at that as, a big haul, but I think he got, like I said, I think he hit a home run. So time will tell on the Florida trade, but I really like what Stan did with moving an asset and bringing in the possibilities of, you can move one of those picks if you want. Maybe you want to bring somebody in, or you can package a couple. So when you got cap room, which the Hawks are going to have, and when you have draft picks and assets, you could dance with anybody in the NHL. And again, it's like the real world. Like the NHL, the cap, the hard cap, it's going to be a flat cap here. So there's going to have to be some maneuverability for teams around the league. So you never know when you might be sitting in a garden spot with assets.
Before we let you go, Eddie, I also know you're a huge Cubs fan. How do you feel about them right now? Are you annoyed? Is this what you expected? And maybe you're not so annoyed. How do you feel about them right now?
Well, it's very disappointing, obviously. But, it's been an issue for the last, couple of years, I guess. I mean, look at now. I mean, I don't know what you're going to get for certain guys if you go ahead and put them out there, and then you're going to be in a major rebuild here moving forward. So look at, I hope that they can, sign Rizzo and bring him back. But I think at some point here, you got to figure out what you're doing with Baez and Bryant and Contreras. And if you're going to do it, now look, I only can speak for what I lived as a coach when I coached in Pittsburgh, some 15 or so, well, it's longer than that now, but 16 years ago, Sylvie, is, I was there when we pretty much blew it up. Like, it was like, okay, we're going to get rid of all of our talent. We're going to bring in as many assets as we can, and it's going to be rough for a couple of years. But the idea is to turn those assets and draft and get high draft picks and be within a five-year plan. Now, unfortunately for me, I wasn't able to see it through, but certainly 5 years later, the Penguins were able to get into the playoffs and eventually win, three Stanley Cups in a period of time. So, I mean, am I surprised? I hate to say this, I'm not, but, it's disappointing, but I watch all the time, and I'm just hoping that wake up one day and, they can figure it all out. But it'll be interesting to see how this all kind of plays out. And, look at Sylvie, you guys would know better than me. The market for a guy like Bryant or, Baez, or look at even Rizzo. I mean, I don't know. I've heard him talk to Cap, and I don't know what's going to happen. Is he gonna be around at the end of the year, and will he walk or will he be traded? I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm disappointed, but I can't say that I'm surprised.
I'm with you. Eddie, great stuff. You got Waddle watching. Oh, I mean, we're all watching, but Waddle's never been more excited to watch hockey.
I don't know why, Eddie. I mean, this has been a year where I've just reintroduced myself to the NHL in a very enthusiastic fashion.
Can I ask you guys, do you think, again, I'm just trying to gain knowledge here, do you think it's because every game, really has an impact on what could happen come playoff time? You know what I mean? With the shortened schedule and then, yes, the games happening back to back. You know what I mean? Do you think that has something to do with it, Tommy?
Yeah, I like the series kind of set up as well. Yeah. You're going to play the Preds three straight times. Right. I love to see, obviously everyone likes to watch a superstar, so I love watching what Patrick Kane is doing. DeBrincat, as you said, has become a superstar in the league. They've been better than people expected them to be. Sure. I think you put it all together, and it's been a fun watch for me this year, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the youngness of this team, and like I said, I talk to a guy like Brandon Hagel, and if people haven't watched, I think from pretty much from the first three or four games that Pat and I called, we were like, this is the guy. Like, out of all the rookies, and all due respect to all of the guys that have played, you got Wyatt Kelnick in there now, a big defenseman that played at Wisconsin for Tony Granato. He's played well and getting an opportunity. He's played nine straight games. But I look at a guy like Hagel, just for me, you hear the terminology, right, the Swiss Army knife. He can do it. He can play with Kaner. He can play on the fourth line. He can be on the power play. He can kill penalties. Mm-hmm. He'll block a shot. He'll do whatever it takes. And that one guy to me, out of all the young guys, and they've had a boatload, Like, that's the one guy that's made, for what it's worth, and I know where I am on the totem pole over there, for what it's worth, that guy's made the biggest impact on me, and I got a feeling, running into a lot of Blackhawk fans, is there's a lot of love for a guy like Brandon Hagel, and it's great to see.
Great stuff, Eddie. We'll be watching tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you, Tommy!
Hey! There's Eddie Olczyk. Great work. He is absolutely awesome, as is Pat Foley.
I can hear
tonight, NBC Sports Chicago.
I can hear the frustration in their voice about not being in the stadium where the game is taking place.
And a lot of fans are coming back, right? And it would be nice for some of these games Wednesday and Friday to have fans in, but no indoor stuff here yet.
I would have to think, too, calling a hockey game is probably more difficult remotely than pretty much every other sport.
Because he's shared with me some of the way the monitors are. Yeah, yeah. When they do a road game, they don't get all the shots they want.
Right.
Because it's not their crew. All right. 1 year ago, something very interesting happened. And what could happen 1 year from now? I'm going to weave it all together next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, 1 year ago today. You know what we were getting ready for 1 year ago today at this time?
1 year ago today. 1 year ago today. 1 year ago today. Give me a hint.
You mentioned it to me, I believe, earlier. Didn't you? It was a Sunday, and it was when we were just new with Twitch, too. And I was going to give everyone like a tour of my basement with all my Bulls memorabilia in advance of The Last Dance.
Oh, yes, that's right.
The Last Dance debuted. If there was ever a time that we needed a documentary like The Last Dance, it was a year ago today.
Mm-hmm.
It was when all of sports was stopped. It gave us, for those weeks, you know, a destination for us to be to watch it together like a sporting event. Yeah, you could tape it. You could still get it on Netflix. But watching it live was an event. It was drawing 5-6 million people.
Yeah, it was cool.
Jason Hare would join us the Monday afterwards. So that was really cool. Someone, Sean, tweeted me saying, you know, that he wanted to know if we were going to talk about it. He said, during today's show, will you be discussing the one-year anniversary of The Last Dance and its impact?
Consider it done.
Yeah, I mean, the impact, I think, was immeasurable for all of us last year,
We were pining for something sports-related because that was the height of everything shut down.
Absolutely, yes. So that was 1 year ago today, and it delivered. And I can't wait to talk to Jason Hare again to find out do we know exactly? You brought it up, but you, Fred, forgot. Do we know exactly what Jason Hare is going to be doing? I think he's got his hand in a couple different projects, perhaps.
I forget what it was. It's completely off. Like, it's not in the same kind of ballpark as The Last Dance. That's all I remember. Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
And then 1 year from now, so that was a year ago. A year from now, what could the story be? And today there was another article regarding this report that, you know, Zach LaVine is expected to forego the contract extension that he could receive from the Bulls this offseason and become an unrestricted free agent in 2022. Now,
describe to me how he earns the most amount of money.
It's by becoming a free agent, unrestricted. And we've talked about this before, that, and this has been the great debate about what you do with Zach with the max, because you're going to have to pay him the super max if you want to keep him. And this offseason, you can't just go to Zach and say, here, we want to give you a 5 or 6 year deal worth X amount of money. You can't do that. Not in the NBA the way these work. I believe Zach would be eligible for a 4-year, $105 million deal, basically, to round it up. Okay? 4 years, $105 million. Right. Now, it's $25 million a year. For the Supermax, Chris, I don't know if you have it on hand on what the Supermax would be worth a year from then when he goes, and you know he's going to bet on himself. He just made the All-Star game. Like, this report isn't a surprise to me.
No.
Because he knows he's going to get on an open market either that Supermax offer for the Bulls or the max on the free agent market.
And maybe he doesn't. I mean, maybe he wants to go somewhere else as well.
So it's like $30 million more he would make
over the course of time.
Yeah, so if you're a player 6 years or less, you have a certain number, and that's what he is right now. Once he gets to 7 to 9 years, you basically have a bump of about $5 million per year, and it escalates. It gets a little bit more each season. So those players who are between 7 and 9 years of service, according to the CBA, they get a locked-in amount as far as a supermax. And then 10-plus guys have even more.
Right.
So there's... You know, financially, there is no reason for Zach to sign something.
None.
This year.
Right.
At all. And so what the report suggests today, which is new information, because this information has been out there, but the new part of the information is that he wants to be a free agent on the open market.
Right. Sure. And this is the scary part, okay? So we've had the debate as a show, do you give Zach the supermax? You know, is he a, quote, elite player? If you want to keep him... You have to. But with him becoming an unrestricted free agent, and next year, with how Vooch is, I mean, how AK is going to build the team, he already acquired Vooch, and what is he going to do with some of these underachieving parts? Zach could leave for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So then you may have to start wondering, like, Jimmy Butler situation with Minnesota, where, you know, he wanted the new deal and he wanted to go elsewhere. Like, could you be left in a year from now, even though you say to yourself, yes, we want to give him Supermax? And
he may not want to take it from
you. He may not want it. He may rather go somewhere else. And I believe the Bulls can still offer the most, right? Isn't that the built-in advantages of the Bulls being his team and the Supermax?
When he reaches true free agency, they can offer the most, correct?
Right. But some players don't mind. Some players have done only 2-year deals where they opt out and then they go, like AD's done this, where then they sign for a bigger thing, like Chris was saying, after he's been in the league for 10 years.
Theoretically, if you re-sign with your current team, you can sign a 5-year max, where if you sign with a new team, it would be a 4-year max contract. So yeah, you can sign for more if you stay, but Sylvie nailed it. I mean, how many players are committing for that amount of time to teams that are not winning championships?
Yeah.
You know, most players, even when they're in winning situations, Kawhi Leonard, he's signing 1-and-1s. Kevin Durant, 1-and-1s. LeBron, 1-and-1s, even though LeBron intends on staying with the Lakers. There's almost no one who is signing these longer, let's build a championship around said guy contracts these days.
And that's where then the Bulls' scariness comes in. They have already had a tough time putting this together, and then what if they get nothing for Zach? You know, you could do a sign and trade and help a team that way, fit him in better, and then you get something for it. But I mean, then what? Or Zach may go against it and say, look, I've always wanted the Supermax. I've always wanted the respect. I like it here in Chicago. Maybe I'll stay. AK will have a lot to say. If AK's got a lot of work to do, though, this offseason.
What is the max he can get per year? When he gets to be a free agent, what did you say it was, Chris?
For next?
Yeah.
Well, the way it's locked in right now, you're looking at like 32 in the first year, 35-3, then 37-3, then 40, then 43.
Right.
So you're talking about
about 189 mil.
You're talking about he's going to be paid in that instance as a top 20 to top 15 player in the league.
Yeah. Right. And then this offseason, 4 years, 104. Which is great money, 105, but it's not that. You just heard like that. That's 25 a year. We're getting into the high 20s, early 30s, you know, if you would commit 5 years. Just wait a year, have the same type of year you've had with the Bulls, and every team
options.
Who needs a player will want you.
Yes.
Yeah, if we were consulting Zach, what we would tell him is, dude, you're improving each season, so you don't sign anything this summer, and guess what? We're going to be on the open market. And someone's going to want to pay for a 27, 28 point per game scorer
who's hitting 42% from behind the arc.
Like, you may be comfortable here, but be prepared to go elsewhere because we're just going to cash in because you're improving. You're getting better each season. We can get you the absolute most on the open market. That's what
we
would tell
you
him.
Have to create an environment where he wants to stay.
Right.
You have to surround him with people that make it desirable for him to stay.
Yeah, they play tonight, too, against Boston. They won over the weekend.
I find guys that, like, he's made a lot of money, but he hasn't made the kind of money where you would, I would think, you'd only sign a 1 or 2 year deal and try to spin it again. like, aren't the majority of the guys that are doing that guys that have already had one really big payday?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. So, yeah, like...
You're right. So that could be an advantage for you.
Right.
He could look at 5 years, 189 or whatever it's going to be, and say, I can't turn that
Well,
down.
Not you only know, that, like, not only that, but, like, if it gets to the point where he doesn't want to be here, how many times have you seen NBA players force a trade?
All the time.
So, I mean...
Yeah. It's really going to be an interesting offseason. More interesting than these last
like he could
few
take
weeks
he could take the Bulls' money, which will be the biggest offer eventually, and see how it goes. If he likes the front office, and if they don't make any headway, like a lot of NBA players, he can go into the front office and say, "I need to be traded. I want to be traded."
So a lot of options out there. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. The good, the bad, the dirty. Our weekend sports wrap up coming up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
It's the good, the bad, the dirty. We spin around the room. And now we could actually spin around the room. We could literally do it here with everyone in our First Midwest Bank studio, where it's Waddle and me along with Black and Abdallah. You can watch us on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Download that ESPN Chicago app. Tell Alexa or Google Play to play ESPN 1000, other than the good old-fashioned radio. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty. Waddle, what's your good?
You're not going to give a rat's ass about this, but in return, I'm not going to give a rat's ass about you not giving a rat's ass about giving a rat's ass about this. Stuart Cink won the Heritage yesterday at the age of 47. It was so cool to watch him play at Harbortown. His son was his caddy. 47 years of age, taking on the young bucks and teaching them the meaning of the word respect. Won by four shots. It was the second time he's won on tour this year. But for an old guy sitting on his couch yesterday, watching an older guy win on the PGA Tour, to me, that was good. That was an enjoyable watch for me.
You could take it to Harbortown and print it.
And print that.
John Greenberg tweeted me or texted me saying that he was very impressed with Randy Merkin, was tweeting at Stuart Cink yesterday, congratulating him on the win.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Are you fishing for a reply when you do that? Or you just, that's just the way you do it?
I do that too a lot of times on Twitter where I talk to, like, that's where Greenberg makes fun of me. While I'm watching a game, I'll say, like, come on, Rizzo, come on through, or something like that.
And you, like, include their Twitter handle?
Sometimes, or like, what if they do called? Something did, good on the field, hat tip, you know, at A Rizzo or whatever.
Did I catch you, what is it called, ghost tweeting, or what's it called?
Oh, I'm going to get to that, yeah.
Oh, you are.
Oh, subtweeting.
Subtweeting.
Subtweet, yeah. So, oh, there was a good old-fashioned wine finger subtweet.
I just said it was Friday night, wasn't
it? So it was tequila fingers.
Okay, because I asked, is that what the cool kids call a...
You were right.
Okay.
I didn't see that until the next day.
Beer league softball player.
I'm going to get to that. And I'm glad
he tagged?
I don't know.
Wasn't Schwarber tagged in your back and forth with Cap?
A while ago. Not this time.
Previously, the back and forth with Cap. And
that's the history. Like, yeah. I guess it's against code to add a guy.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, look, if you go on a 50,000-watt radio station and say things not in secret and call someone a name, why are you worried about adding somebody? You're on a blowtorch.
Anyway, welcome back.
He's Scott. Feeling good, too, by the way. He had his colonoscopy. Yeah. Everything went well, excellent. And that's great, great, great news. I
got to get my second one next year. I'm 54. I got it at 50. I saw his tweet today, too, or his Instagram post, and he says now they're telling, and I know what you're going to tell me, you know, mind my own medical business, but I saw him say, that now they're advising people to get colonoscopies at 45.
Okay, maybe. Like, whatever it is, do it.
Get your prostate.
I'm just telling you what my doctors had said.
That's cool.
I don't make the rules.
All right, okay. I'm just saying, I saw it.
I'm all twisted these days. So where was I? So
what's your good?
I'm going to get to Cap was on his own show today, a little loopy coming out of the. He sounded like Rizzo calling in on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, when you get mellow Anthony Rizzo, that's how Cap sounded today. All right. So my good, I'm glad you phrased yours the way you did, because I don't give a rat's ass how much fun you make fun of me right now, because that I thought yesterday on ESPN that this was cute as Anthony Rizzo came over to third base to help in the rundown to get Freddie Freeman. He was mic'd up. You know how I feel about mic'ing up players. I love it. And then this ensued.
They've got Freeman in a rundown now.
Because as soon as he saw me, I'm like, Frederick! I just started dying.
Frederick! Freddie! Frederick! Freddie!
How great is that? Like, little leaguers, he was chasing Freddie Freeman, two-star first baseman, as one was chasing the other, just yelling, Frederick! Freddie! Like, you're going to make fun of me. I like that stuff. It does.
Listen, gets your pants off.
It gets my pants off. Whack that thing!
I'm not going to judge you. That gets your marbles hot. It gets your marbles hot. To each their own, I don't care.
Abdallah, you're good.
You're really good.
I don't know what to say after that.
Frederick! Freddie!
Good thing
he did that, because what else are you going to ask him tomorrow? What are you going to ask him tomorrow? Why can't you guys hit?
I'm surprised you were with the game at that point.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I saw that on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that later. I was gone when it was, they made it, 6-3?
I think it was 100-4 in the third.
No, they came, they made it in, Rizzo hit his second, yes, and I think it was 6-3.
Was that when Merkin was telling us he had a feeling in his belly?
The wind was blowing out, okay. But then when they started blowing it out, I think fifth or sixth, I was out. So, all right.
What was the StatCast win percentage at 6-3?
I gave up at the same time as Tony La Russa today. Abdallah, what's yours?
My good. Was it my good last week? I think it'll be my good again this week. Michael Kopech. How about that? How about Kopech?
Stud.
Yesterday. Yeah, now, I know you want to have a Kopech conversation.
I do. I want to ask you guys a question. I keep putting this off.
A Kopech hold on, I have my headphones.
What's ideal for Kopech is my question to Sox fans and to you guys. What is it this year? Okay.
If you want my answer now, or you want me to hold it?
No, whatever you.
I think what they're doing with him now is prudent. Like, let him continue to really achieve and excel in a spot right now that he seems comfortable in. Don't rush it.
What if I told you by the end of September he could be this great starter, though?
Well, that's a long time between now and then, and that's what I'm saying. I'd let this thing kind of dictate its own pace.
Right. I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying at the end of all this, what is your ideal scenario for Kopech? Is he a weapon out of the bullpen that is absolutely awesome locked down if they make the playoffs? Or is he starting a game for you postseason?
Yes and
game?
Yes. Well, depends on what happens.
Well, that's
No, it doesn't depend. He's going to start a playoff game.
Well, he's not going to start a playoff game if Rodon is dealing and Giolito's one and Lance Lynn is doing what Lance Lynn is doing.
You've got Giolito, Keuchel, and Lynn as your rotation in the playoffs because of the days off and the travel days.
Did you mention Keuchel, too?
Keuchel. I think he's a weapon out of the bullpen.
Yeah, I disagree with you guys. He's going to start a playoff game.
Yeah, that's why I think it's fascinating because he showed you in a spot start there that he could go three, and if you could build him up, I'm just saying if you could pick whatever you'd want him to be at the end of the year, this year, not for his career, what would it be?
Okay, we're arguing over an embarrassment of riches, but as impressive as Kopech has been, Rodon threw a no-hitter, and the start before that against Seattle, he struck out, 10?
Right.
I don't know, maybe.
He's not getting the ball before Rodon if these guys both continue the arc that they're on. I'm sorry.
Maybe it's time to stretch out your mean Mercedes. I don't know.
There you go.
Also, a second good for Eddie Olczyk called back in. It is 45, guys. Go get checked at 45.
See?
Eddie
is a spokesperson and a true guy, a role model. Who I followed his lead in my journey as well. Because
if he says 45, it is.
Yes, it is. Black, what's your good?
Did you guys see the NBA was hot this weekend? A lot of good games, a lot of good action. But More specifically, have you looked at the numbers from Stephen Curry over the month of April?
Incredible.
They're incredible. He's averaging 40 points per game in April with six assists, six rebounds, four assists, shooting from three, 50% for the month. And he has.
You can argue this is the best he's ever played, can't you?
You could, and he's a two-time MVP. But yeah. Remember, he's just a cute novelty act, and he's not legitimately one. Well, people always want to discredit Stephen Curry.
Haven't we got to the point where those people don't feel that way? You guys
know that that's true. There are people out there that think he's a bit of a gimmick, and that's completely
crazy. He's the greatest shooter this sport's ever seen.
He's more than that. He's probably in the argument of the top three point guards of all time.
If anything, I've overrated him. Like, there were times when I said he was better
than
LeBron.
That was like four or five years ago.
Yeah,
he's in the conversation, though. You know, his impact on a team is that great. Is that worthy?
Did you see the three-point shot he made with his left hand?
Yeah. Crazy. He's been incredible.
All right, let's get to the rest of the bads and the dirties. It's coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, in the middle of the good, the bad, the dirty, we left off on our bads. Waddle, what is your bad from the weekend?
My bad was the performance in the first inning by one of our favorites, Kyle Hendricks, who gave up four home runs, walked a guy, and hit a guy. It's not good. That's bad.
No, it's a bad
first inning.
You could add today as well, the White Sox game in Giolito. Two guys you never expect that to happen. My bad is I caved. I failed to bring this up Friday, like I promised. I've been debating how early is too early for video game systems for a 6 and a 5 year old, and I caved. I put in an order for the Nintendo Switch for my boys. The problem is, and this goes into the bad. So the bad is that I caved, and the bad is also that they're still on a wait. I don't understand why they don't have more of these things. Why are they still not available? Why can't I get a Nintendo Switch?
In the meantime, PlayStation.
Yeah, he's got some. He's got a resale.
Do they do this on purpose? Not make enough, so the want is out there
to keep the demand.
Supply and
up.
Demand. Yeah.
I was told there's a 90-day wait. I am on a waiting list to get one of these Nintendo Switches.
Kids are going to have to sit on the couch and chew gum for 90 days.
Yeah, you'll be early for Christmas next year.
There you go.
Hanukkah, the whole thing.
So, cool. Yes, I caved. I'm interested to see.
So what games can you play on that?
I think it's mostly like I was told, and I don't know if this is right, they're going to have a headset
playing Call of Duty in different rooms?
That's what I was told. I was told the good thing about the Switch is there aren't really shooting games. It's more Mario-based games.
Cool.
Now, that's just what I'm told. I don't know. I'm not familiar with this, so don't come after me.
So you're buying something that you haven't fully investigated.
Well, I did reach out to people I trust who have the system. Am I accurate on that? Isn't the Nintendo Switch is more like Mario Kart? And
can I play like soccer or football? Or?
Yeah, I don't play.
Yeah, we don't play Nintendo video games anymore.
So, but that's what I was told.
Adam just buys them and resells them.
Yes, that's good. Yeah. It's called being an entrepreneur.
Of course, I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you, if you want some information on how to buy these things, he's your guy.
Set up a bot.
Man.
Abdallah, I just need some peace at home, too. So here's a gaming system, and leave me alone for
Shut up, kid.
5 minutes. It's all I want sometimes without a fight.
Leave me alone, kid.
5 minutes? Can I get 5 minutes without a fight? Just 5 minutes. Five? Abdallah.
Are the fights ever entertaining?
Yeah, they can be boy fights.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, why not? Again, and they can be.
I know. You have to
when it's one after another. They're not
the children, but be you know.
But at the end of the day, we talk back and we say that was pretty funny, wasn't
Do
it?
Have you ever thought of building a small ring and putting them in it and like
boy fights?
Actually, having it be almost like sanctioned.
I want less fights. They're at martial arts right now, man.
He wants less fights, but he just sent them to his sensei. I want discipline
because it's discipline. This isn't Cobra Kai. This is Master Lee. Master Lee.
And Master Lee teaches Braxton the roundhouse kick.
Discipline is what I've been told.
Yeah, all right.
They charge, to get the next belt. My wife has been texting me that they charge money for the test. Did you guys know this? Like, if you want to earn your first belt, I believe every time you test,
you have to pay a test.
That stuff ain't free.
And the higher you get up, the more expensive the test is.
Yeah, of course.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I did Taekwondo when I was younger. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time you want. And it's like, you're not ready. And it's like, no, he says I'm ready. He wants another check. He wants another $100 check.
It's like the drive-thru. You know what they say.
You always get. Go ahead, Abdallah.
Oh, the Super League. The whole thing we talked about.
You don't like it, huh?
It's awful. It's so stupid. The fact that you're just going to be handed a spot in a league and you don't have to earn your way. And I'm a fan of a team that's consistently at the top of the league. Like, Manchester City doesn't have this problem. But to just be handed it and not have to go out and earn it and have to compete, like...
Maybe if your team was getting relegated, you'd feel differently.
Well, I mean, look, if my team was getting relegated, I would say, whatever, it doesn't matter, because my team's not good enough to make it into the top four anyway. You should be able to earn your spot. It's ridiculous.
What do you got, Chris?
Can I give my bad to your good and your laughs and lollipops last night with Rizzo down 10? I mean, what kind of a nonsense Cubs angle is that? It's cute like that our players are having fun on the field.
Freddie!
I mean,
they've got Freeman in a rundown now.
As soon as he saw me,
I'm like, Frederick! I just started dying.
Frederick! Freddie!
Hey, is that Mercedes pitching? Say no.
Frederick! Freddie!
Laughs and lollipops at
Wrigley.
Maybe
we can go 10. Get an ice cream cone after our ass kicking.
Slurpees for all of us.
Yeah.
It's good, Black. What's your dirty water?
My dirty was the performance again by Shane Bieber. This time it came at the expense of my Reds. 13 more strikeouts. I do believe I just read he is the first pitcher in Major League Baseball history to start a season with four consecutive starts with double-digit strikeouts.
He's incredible. He really is. My dirty is the Schwarber walk-off grand slam and me tweeting about it after sipping tequila Friday night and then me subtweeting Cap saying beer league softball player and then multiple people fighting on my Twitter timeline over if Schwarber's good or not, arguing the same damn thing. Can I just like Schwarber because he was a World Series hero in 2016? And I know, and he's a great dude. I know what he hits. No one is called him a superstar. I like Schwarbs. That's it. And I was proud that he hit a walk-off.
Take that.
Take that, nation.
That's my dirty. What are we doing?
Take that, nation.
What are we doing here? What is this? What is this little coup that we're trying to do here?
It's a Super League take that nation.
Take that, nation.
That's really your dirty is take that nation?
It was going to be Luis Robert and having 9 hits in his last 6 games. But
yeah.
I'll give you a real dirty. Did you guys see any of the Dodgers and the Padres over the weekend?
Did the benches clear? Highlights. Is that when the benches cleared again?
There was some back and forth, but great game on Friday night. You know, games all weekend. The game yesterday was exciting. A lot of the action was on MLB Network. It was a fantastic series, and what, they play like 17, 18 more times throughout the season?
Dodgers are good.
So, yeah.
Yu Darvish had a hard luck loss in one of those games. Yeah. He only allowed one run.
Saturday, I believe.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk some baseball. Speaking of that, with Jesse Rogers, are the Cubs going to deal a guy like Chris Bryant sooner rather than later? What about Wilson Contreras? That up in 2 minutes.